Here in Florida, we have something special. Blessing the sign. There's enough land here to hold all the ideas and plans we could possibly imagine.
To the right is the Disney-created Seven Seas Lagoon. To the left is Bay Lake. Nestled on the shores of Bay Lake are Disney's Wilderness Lodge and Disney's Fort Wilderness Resort and Campground.
Welcome to the Walt Disney World Resort, including Epcot Center, the Magic Kingdom, and now the Disney MGM Studios.
Not a zoo.
Those glass pyramids are the gateway to your journey into imagination. Imagination.
45 years of magic.
How do we get to Neverland?
Fly, of course.
Fly?
It's easy.
Eastern Airlines Flight 72, your Fiesta flight to Mexico and the ancient pyramids, now departing at gate 19.
Ladies and gentlemen, please turn your attention to the middle screens now. We've arranged a live telecast from the surface of the moon for you. Stand by.
Good luck, team. All of us here at Mission Control are proud to be a part of this historic liftoff of the first mission to Mars.
45 years of dreams.
Come and share the enchantment and magic of Disney dreams come true.
Epcot Center celebrates human achievements and innovation born from imagination. It is a showplace dedicated to entertain, we hope, with a purpose.
Sea Catcher, the newest and most exciting floating city in the Pacific, invites you and your family to come away with us to the sea. Convenient daily departures by sea train and skylift.
Sir, you sir there.
Yes, sir.
Could you give us a little help today?
Oh, yes, sir. Well, you're Walter Cronkite, and that's the way it is. Hold on, Walter, can you just a moment? How you doing? Name's Robin. Nice to be, but you can call me Chuck.
Robin, what's your favorite Disney film?
45 years of celebrations.
Each of us has our own individual stories to tell. A true adventure emerges when we bring them all together as one. I hope you enjoy our story tonight. Reflections of Earth.
On this magic night, a million stars will play beside us, cast a spell of
life. 45 years of new adventures.
We're gonna take it flying, and there'll be no denying, this dream flight's bound for non-stop fantasies.
If man is to reap the bounty of the deep, he must learn all he can about the ocean and its contents. To this end, our marine laboratories at Vulcania are stepping up their research capabilities. The sophisticated diving methods and saturation diving techniques of the Nautilus have dramatically increased the time man can live comfortably and for long periods in the ocean depths.
By now, you must be wondering how excess tech can help you seize the future.
Hang on to them hats and glasses, because this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Are we on the way to Nottingham?
To Greenham?
To Buckingham?
Or anyhow we have to by the sea?
aboard a runaway train for a high-speed ride through the snowy peaks and mountain canyons of the Himalayas. The adventure culminates in a chilling encounter with a legendary creature that prowls the icy caverns of Mount Everest, the Yeti.
45 years of lasting memories.
Making memories, making memories, taking pictures is making memories, catching little pieces of time, making them yours
and making them mine.
Okay, what are we doing here?
Nai-Nai, this is something I've wanted to see my whole life. The Exposition Universelle de Paris, 1900.
Speak English.
The Universal Exposition of Paris, 1900. D'accord.
This is why I built the time machine, not just because I like to write backwards.
To bring a gift, Your Highness, to someone as beautiful as you.
You think me beautiful?
Very beautiful within, Your Highness, but without a key to unlock it. And that is my gift to you.
Those who seek the spirit of Norway face peril and adventure. But more often find beauty and charm.
Holy crap!
Hold on, Pigman!
Why?
The idea bag is full.
It is? Let's start making new things!
No, wait! First, we must store these ideas with the others in the Dreamport.
Are we almost there?
Well, the Dreamport is never far away when you use your imagination.
Come on, everybody, let's go!
On October 1st, 2016, Walt Disney World turns 45. Join WDWNT as we explore the history and share our experiences on this milestone anniversary.
A great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, and tomorrow's just a dream away.
Tonight, Sprinkles is opening at the Disneyland Resort. Has anyone in Southern California ever eaten dessert? The math game is back. Let's hope it adds up, unlike Guardians of the Galaxy being in Future World. And Walt Disney World is celebrating its 45th anniversary this weekend, and it's still another 45 until Pandora opens.
Ugh.
You've read WDW News Today, now you'll listen to WDW News Tonight. Yay, take applause! Yay! Ooh, us!
Always ruining the magic.
That's me. It could not be any more true. Welcome to WDW News Tonight. I'm Tom Corliss, and you're not. Joining me in the studio, as always, Nicholas Cicero.
Good evening, everyone. Super happy to be here.
Also in the studio, Jason Diffendahl.
Oh, yeah.
I am
what?
In the studio.
Then
look
who's helping us control the show?
Michael Batista.
Michael Batista in the control room with the giant Stitch plush.
Don't worry, it's all part of the plan. We are professionals.
Sure, keep convincing yourself. Well, welcome to WDW News Site. This is a huge show. We're still looking at Michael. Michael, we're still looking at you. There we go.
There's the star.
This is a huge show tonight. We're celebrating 45 years. I've got my I Was There shirt, even though it doesn't happen till Saturday. Don't ask.
I love bragging about that.
I do, because you have to wait in a line on Saturday, and that amuses me. This is a huge show tonight, so even though it's supposed to be a podcast segment, we're launching the 45 greatest things ever at Walt Disney World tonight. We're going to count down moments 45 through 41. That's going to be up in hour two. Also tonight, the math game is back, and Jason and Michael are at the helm this time, so we've been assured that everything will go according to plan. The answers have been double and triple checked. Everything will be fine. And we have graphics, so you can see the question. You can actually visibly see it, so you don't have to try and remember what Nick says, because you know Nick jumbles through every sentence.
Happened last time. You just weren't here. We had graphics last time.
Oh, no. Last time, Nick did it again after that, I thought.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, I did.
No, it was a mess.
It was a mess.
So I promise you a foolproof math game tonight as well. Also coming up, Connor Furzicki is going to be joining us. He attended... might be the only person who's attended Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, attended the very first one of those, and then attended the very first Mickey's Halloween Party out at the Disneyland Resort. So we're going to be talking about both of those in a segment we're calling Versus.
By the way, people still a little concerned if Nick's coming up with the math questions tonight. No. So
no, Nick. Nick did not come up with the math questions. You'll be happy to know.
So we'll be doing that later on this hour.
Yeah, so it's a stacked show tonight, so let's not waste any more time. And now the news!
The news!
Brought to you by TeePublic and tonight's WDWNT only sale. So before we get into the news, I want to let you know, we have a WDWNT store only sale. So the rest of TeePublic is not on sale. We asked them, hey, TeePublic, we're doing great sales with you. Would you mind if for our listeners for this anniversary weekend, if we ran a sale like tonight through Friday, just for our readers and listeners? And they said, absolutely, we would love to do that. So $14 shirts and more happening right now on the site. We'll give you all the details at the end of the
And week. More.
Well, yeah, they do phone cases.
Oh, okay.
All kinds of.
Nice.
Kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I should know. I read that commercial every week.
You do.
Semi-read it.
Anyway.
I attempt.
Anywho. Mug of the Week, Skipper Canteen, the new one.
Mug of the Week, Disney Park Starbucks.
Yours is the start. Are you going to get that new one, Nick?
Ooh, what's the new one?
I tweeted it yesterday. It got like 200 retweets. It's insane.
Yeah. What was it? What did it look like?
It's a mug that has like Mickey in a heart and then the Starbucks logo on the other side. It's weird.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of odd.
I'll have to go look at the...
It's a little girly.
I've got a Mug of the Week that Tom doesn't have.
Can we show Jason's Mug of the Week?
This is exclusive to Castaway Key. Can only buy it on Castaway Key Disney Cruise Line.
There you go. All right. Well, the news, which is what we were supposed to get on.
The news.
Yeah, let's do the news. An SUV drove into a sign on World Drive on Saturday, in case you haven't seen my pictures on every website on Earth. we're so famous. Knocking the sign over and forcing one side of World Drive to close. The car reportedly had an Unleash the Villains bumper sticker. I wonder how many people in the crowd are going to get that. Michael, by the way, thank you for showing us the entire photo editing app on your computer. Yay for being professional.
Yay.
Cars drove under the down sign in one lane for a while before emergency personnel arrived to close the road. Said one driver, hey, it's still safer than Mission Space. So, why not? The driver who struck the pole ended up being ticketed for the incident, but hey, it was still cheaper than the meal they would have had if they had made it to a theme park. Maybe even save them from a cheeseburger flatbread. Who knows? Much of the 45th anniversary merchandise line for the Magic Kingdom was already released last week. The line includes dozens of new items. Michael, can we show them? Can we show them the new line? Get that up for them. The line includes dozens of new items, including apparel, ornaments, mugs, and a box of chocolate. A box of chocolate for the Disney fan who doesn't want to reach age 45. There's even... No, nobody? All right, fine.
No.
Be that way. There's even a Rice Krispie treat with the 45th logo on it. That may seem dumb, but it is outselling the Lou Mangiello one. So, I mean, it has his face on it. on a Rice Krispie treat. I'll just stop. Why don't I just stop?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't want that mug.
What, you don't want that Starbucks mug? Yeah, I didn't think you would. But everybody was freaking out about it. I don't know why. Michael, can we come back to me? You got down to the coin, actually. I want to show people.
This is a nice coin.
No. Come to me. Put me on camera. Come on. There we go. Here's the 45th coin in the frame thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try and get that on camera.
That camera
doesn't do it justice. It's
no,
nice.
It doesn't. You can see it, though. It's kind of cool. Individually numbered. It's on a wood base. Kind of cool. Then also there's the silver coin. That's all I bought so far because these were actually limited. I didn't buy any of the open edition stuff yet. But there is the...
So you normally do coins?
Yeah, my father's a big coin collector, so the minute I told him these were out, I had to pick these up. So limited edition coin. There's pictures on the site. You should check out that ultimate guide on the site, actually. We have a video of me walking through the merchandise display, and there's also pictures of everything if you're adverse to video. So pretty cool. Go check it out. The timeline of Epcot history returned behind Fountain View and the Epcot character spot over the weekend. Timeline was updated with more recent events that ruined the lives of millions. Added are moments such as the opening of Frozen Ever After and Soarin' Around the World, but also the latest Japan Pavilion exhibit somehow ended up on here, this tiny little exhibit. Yet the new American Adventure restrooms were left out. Come on. More people have seen the American Adventure restrooms than that Japan exhibit. Why not the American Adventure restrooms? Come on. Or the soda. What about the soda flavor change? That should have been on there, right? That's an important moment. Should be like Universe of Energy opens. Test track. Soda change. guests can now eat Dole Whip in the Enchanted Tiki Room in Florida, just as they can in California. The new policy went into effect last week at the Magic Kingdom. I don't know about the. I don't know about this, guys. In Florida, we still don't have the fountain in the middle to wash your hands and face, so I'm not sure this is a problem.
Is that what that was for?
California's got it. Yes, you just walk up in the middle of the show and just freshen up, you know.
In case you spill the Dole Whip.
Well, no, it's messy. Dole Whip, you get all sticky after Dole Whip. Yeah. At least now when the seats are sticky in the tiki room, it might be from something you can more easily identify. So. What? Children are sticky.
Was the tiki room on OBT
Remember Nick yelling about children being sticky and holding up the lines to enter the park? Remember that?
I got pretty mad about that. Yeah.
Send your hate mail to nick@wdwnt.com.
I listened back to that, and I was pretty harsh on the kids, but I stand by that.
Yes. Someone in the chat asked, Wigs members on Patreon, yes, we are doing a special half-hour post-show for you tonight. So if you haven't signed up yet, go to patreon.com/WDWNT and sign up.
I like how we used to do those for free. Not anymore.
Wow, no. Nick, thanks for sabotaging me live on the air. Wow. Really appreciate that. No, we're going to see how that goes. It might become a weekly offering for Wigs members. We stopped doing it anyway because Nick gets sleepy. He's a big man child.
But so, he took a nap today, right?
So he took a nap. Yeah, he watched his Sesame Street.
Sometimes they
and Eureka's Castle, and then went to sleep. Yep.
Anyway. A little bit 4 a.m. last Thursday.
Anyway, the Muppets will be arriving at the Magic Kingdom on October 2nd. Still no word on when the summer crowds are going to show up, but anyway. The Muppets present great moments in American history. Is hosted by James J.J. Jefferson, town crier of Liberty Square, and Sam Eagle, the fiercely patriotic American Eagle, who is forever trying to set a high moral standard for the Muppets. The wacky new show is set to take place several times daily just outside the Hall of
Fame. Several?
Yeah, several. Throughout the day, J.J. and the Muppets will share their own unique take on the Founding Fathers as they recount the tale of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, complete with an original song and plenty of humor. At other times, you may catch the Muppets' version of the Midnight Ride of Paul Revere, or maybe even Monday Night's Debate, where the Muppets will just incoherently yell at each other. So, you never know what show you're going to see. But it'll be presented daily, of course, until people complain it isn't the Muppets they remember, and then it's canceled early. So. No? Nobody?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
A visit to the downtown Disney district of the Disneyland Resort is going to be getting even sweeter beginning in November when Sprinkles opens its newest location, serving up overrated baked cupcakes and cookies and amazing Captain Crunch flavored ice cream. Touted as the world's first cupcake bakery by the Food Network, Sprinkles has been blamed for inspiring the craze of gourmet cupcakes.
For $17.
Which I now have to review in videos for people. The shop in downtown Disney district will offer handcrafted cupcakes in flavors like banana, carrot, salty caramel, strawberry, and a Sprinkles bestseller, Red Velvet. Signature cookies, including Snickerdoodle, salted oatmeal cornflake, and peanut butter pretzel chip are also be available. Sprinkles considers customers' special dietary needs all of a sudden, offering vegan, gluten-free, and sugar-free cupcakes, of course now because we're in L.A. The location will be opening in November next door to the Starbucks in a space once occupied by Quicksilver, which somehow wasn't douchey enough to stay alive in California. Sprinkles, of course, already operates a dwindling location at the town center of Disney Springs in Orlando, Florida. That line is gone, man.
Is it really?
It is history. There's no one ever there anymore.
They all went to Blaze now. That line
they all went
is enormous.
To Blaze, yeah.
Well, I mean, you can get...
They're on to the next hipster millennial trend already, Jason. Exactly.
Well, you can get a whole pizza or you can get a cupcake for like the same price.
A bland, normal cupcake with nothing special about it. Nick, I know you like Sprinkles. It's just the Captain Crunch ice cream, right?
Well, it's the idea... I'm not a big cupcake person, but it's the idea of having ice cream with cupcake.
But it's only the Captain Crunch ice cream, right? I mean... That's the one.
That was excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the reason to go. Otherwise, like, I don't... I've had individual cupcakes, and it's just like, yeah.
Their ice cream is good, but having the ice cream, and even the different flavor ice cream, I'm sure is fine, but having that...
Cake and ice cream is great.
Cake and ice cream, then you have the frosting on top of the ice cream. It's a perfect topping. Yeah. It's really good together.
When I was a kid, I'm going to tell a really weird story. I was watching Pee-wee's Playhouse. There's an episode where they decide, like, they're going to make cake ice cream. And I remember as a kid looking at my parents and looking back at the screen and being like, this is a thing? You could have cake and ice cream mixed together? And that's what always reminds me when I go to Sprinkles. But anyway.
It all went downhill from there. Didn't you do Carvel ice cream cakes?
Oh, Carvel. Yeah, that was later, though. I mean, that's when I was real, real young.
Yeah, but those are ice cream cakes. There's no cake in there.
No, I guess not.
Yeah, no, they're just, it's made of ice cream. It looks like a cake.
Yes.
Publix does good cakes where they mix
Publix
ice cream
does
and cake.
Good anything baked. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Did you ever get the Willy the Whale?
Yeah, Carvel? And no, it's Fudgy the Whale.
Fudgy the Whale, Willy.
You
Willy
idiot.
The Whale.
Willy the Whale. That's a Disney character. Fudgy the Whale. There's also Cookie Puss.
Right?
Cookie Puss? Which I think was also a 007 movie. I'm not entirely sure. Don't quote me on that. Anyway, it's going downhill fast.
Nick, somebody in the chat recognized your T-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they start arriving today, I guess.
Yeah, the preview center. There
you
go.
You also have the Figment. Can you show people the Figment one real quick? You didn't bring XS Tech for some reason.
I didn't.
Just to spite you, Tom.
Yeah, right?
Got the Figment one right
there. There it is. Now reenact the whole pre-show as you move the shirt in front of the screen. Never mind. Never mind. Let's continue with the news.
Oh, sorry.
According to Bloomberg... the website, not the awful mayor of New York. The Walt Disney Company is working with a financial advisor to evaluate a possible bid for Twitter Incorporated, according to people familiar with the matter, Bloomberg News reports. So this is how Disney plans on stopping people from tweeting about the Avatar delays. Avatar joke of the week! Look at Nick go tonight!
I was told I didn't dance enough last week.
You did not. It was lame.
Yeah.
Went for it.
Lamer than FDR's legs.
He's got a lot of energy because he took a nap today.
Yeah.
See what that after doing?
No, I had energy. Energy. Just wanted to dance.
Everybody missed it.
One more dance, I know.
Nick, who brought us the news?
Oh, that would be TeePublic. Don't forget to head over to WDWNT.com tonight. Click on that TeePublic link to shop from hundreds of designs for T-shirts, phone cases, prints, and more, including exclusive WDW News Today logo apparel and other creations such as Tom Corliss mean tweets. That's a fan favorite. We actually saw that at the parks the other day.
Yeah, Jason's wearing it right now. Can we show Jason?
Look at that.
In the shirt. There it is.
That's nice. My mean tweet shirt. These shirts, let me tell you, these shirts are really comfortable.
I
love the material. They're so soft.
Thank you for going along with our sales, other than Nick, who undermined our post show already.
Wow.
No, anyway, back to the ad. Back to
my 7 shirt, I think, is on the
way.
Yeah, I got the 7 shirt.
There it is.
And I love that one. I'm thinking about the Make the Movie Ride Great Again. Yeah, that was a fun one as well.
Perfect for elections.
I know. It is. So you get all these shirts and more. You get them in all different styles and colors and all kinds of stuff over there at TeePublic.
And they're only on sale for the next 2 days, 3 hours, and 30 minutes.
Okay.
Limited time sale. They're down from $20 to $14. It's a pretty good sale right now. Just for you. This is not a website-wide sale at TeePublic. They did this just for us because you guys have been so supportive and buying the shirts, and they've been doing so well. They were like, this is certainly something we could do. Our thanks to TeePublic on this. This is a great offer to celebrate anniversary week.
Yeah. It helps us out, too.
Yeah, we get a couple dollars of every sale, and you help keep WDW News Tonight going.
Yeah, as long as you click on that TeePublic link, then you could do shopping in our shop and throughout the TeePublic website, and it all helps us out there. But definitely check it out today, especially because of that sale. Check it out tonight over at WDWNT.com, clicking on TeePublic, an official partner of WDW News Tonight.
When we come back, Nick, it's the math game. Call in 407-774-8255 is the number to play WWNT, the foolproof 45th anniversary edition math game.
I saw them testing the answers, their hypotheses, yeah, and their remainders and their variables.
This is your chance to seize the future with excess on the math game. 407-774-8255. We'll be right back. WW News Tonight.
As a single Disney fan can be tough. No one wants to eat a PR guest alone. And who wants to always ride single rider? That's why we here at WWNT made a brand new dating app just for Disney fans. It's called Fast X Plus. We've had top scientists work on our algorithm. Their recipe for a perfect match is simple. If it moves and it's near you in a Disney theme park, it will show up on your feed. Rest assured that Fast X Plus is working hard to pair you with your mutual attractions. Get it? Attractions. All you need to do is swipe left and right. It's so easy, even Tom Corliss is a frequent user.
Frozen shirt, left, she's wearing a Harry Potter robe. Ooh, Horizon's hat. All right, that's a right. Favorite attraction is flying carpets. Left. She likes Everest in its current state. Ugh, left. I didn't know you could do that with a churro. Right indeed.
Once you've met your match, you simply rate the attraction in terms of A, B, C, D, or marriage material, e-ticket. Based on such factors as thrill, fun for the whole family, and of course, re-rideability. Ladies, don't settle for any LaFools while looking for your Gaston. Download Fast X Plus today.
Seriously? Your profile picture has a shirt with a turkey leg stain on it? Left. Bald, fat, bald, fat, and bald. Oh, he's at the Frozen sing-along right now. For the first time in forever, I'm swiping right.
Fast X Plus moves you to the front of the queue of the Disney dating field. Make your rainbow connection today, because everyone is someone's e-ticket.
Come celebrate again. All the wonder and joy, the laughter and delight that is so much a part of our tradition here in Walt Disney World's Magic Kingdom. Come with us.
When you wish upon a star.
Come and remember the magic.
Remember the magic. Remember the magic. It's time to remember the magic. Your heart just take wing. You can live along your dreams. No matter how out of bed. Reach that.
Welcome back to WDW News Tonight. We're remembering the magic all night long. It's our 45th anniversary special, as the Magic Kingdom will celebrate 45 years this coming Saturday. Very exciting. Thank you for tuning in live once again. WDW News Tonight, of course, live on AM 1520 WBZW at listen.wdwnt.com, on YouTube, and, of course, on WDWNT, the app. This evening, thank you very much for joining us. And by popular demand, a game returning to the show tonight. It's WDWNT, the math game.
Not the math game.
And not the match game.
The math game.
You have been warned, it says it. Oh, boy.
No, I love it.
So, I feel like we're playing Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? Like, it's, what is this graph?
So if you're watching our live stream on YouTube or listen.wdwnt.com, yeah, we do have a whole chalkboard thing going here where you'll be able to see the equations. But if you are playing from home, you might want to grab a pen and some paper, so you could jot stuff down and try to get these answers. We do have one. Before we go to our first caller, we do have one line left open. If you want to jump in on that last game, you can call us now, 407-774-8255. And we got lots of cool things today.
Theme Park Connection, which yes, you can visit online at themeparkconnection.com, of course.
So we got this little MGM Studios catering company, Pat,
which is now bulldozed. That building is gone. That's a cool piece.
We got, what is this, a Jiminy Cricket Environmentality
coin from 1995.
We got Tom's old Vinyl Nation that he doesn't want anymore.
Yeah, there's the Captain Rex.
He bought a bunch of Eaches, I think.
And I got a bunch of Disneyland 60th ones there. There's the It's a Small World. There's Jose from the Tiki Room. There's Oogie Boogie.
Yeah, we got some good. I'll give you a choice. We got some coins from California Adventure. If you want
grand
to go that
opening,
route.
Yeah.
And let's see.
You still got more souvenir cups.
Millionaire
too, right?
Play It Lanyard. Yep.
Yeah.
We got some Chewy souvenir mugs as well. And you know what? I found a couple other things. I have. Oh, let me show. You know, I found a couple other things. We have one of these left lying around. So if you're
the Guardians of the Galaxy comic book.
So you can play for that. Yep. And I found another one of these. We had these a while back.
Oh, the lithograph from the opening of Voyage of the Little Mermaid.
Yeah, so you can request, but you know, as long as you're playing, you request any of that stuff. We got the Chewy Cup, and then we got a bunch of these as well.
Yeah, the Star Wars Land Coming Soon postcards.
Yeah. So there you go. You got so if you play, you win tonight. You get some choices here because the math game is a difficult process to push you through. So we want to give you.
But as Quint would say, it ain't going to be easy.
Nice choices. So we're going to bring up our first contestant. You math geeks ready? Jason, do we need Connor? Is Connor coming on to help you?
No, Connor will be on in a day.
All right, cool.
Nope, we're ready.
Here we go. We're going to bring on our first contestant. Good evening, Michael. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Nick?
We're doing great. Where are you calling us from?
Tonight I call from Arkansas.
All right. So you know what? We're gonna have some fun with the math game tonight. You're the first contestant tonight, and you're excited to play the math game. Is this the game you've been waiting for?
No, this is the first experience I've had with the math game.
Okay.
Wow. Well, right. I hope it's a good one.
It'd be a first.
All right, so I'm going to hand you over to Jason. He's got all the equations, everything in front of you. Now, remember, you're going to want some pen, some paper probably with you to help you figure this stuff out.
Or calculator.
And you could use calculators. By the way, yes, you could use calculators. We're not.
You may also need to look up some things to find the numbers you need.
Yeah, this is actually a game that looking up stuff online is not considered cheating.
No, you're going to need it.
But we have a reasonable time limit that we're keeping on you. We can't take forever either. So there you go. So I'm going to hand it over to Jason and go ahead with the first question.
All right. So we've got four questions here, and you're going to get your choice. You can choose the Tom question, the Nick question, the Jason question, or the Bill Nye question.
Let's go with the Nick question.
All right, the Nick question. Michael, go ahead and bring up the Nick question for us.
I'm scared. This one's going to be pronounced wrong or something. Oh, look at that!
No. All right. So this is N times I, in parentheses, and I hope you know what parentheses means, divided by C.
Is N is I in parentheses, or is N and I in parentheses?
N times I is in parentheses.
I see it.
All right, good. You're on the video. That helps a lot.
Yeah. Can I say this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen? But anyway, please proceed.
All right. So after I finish reading, although you get a little head start because you can see,
be hour two, but
we're going to start the timer. So N is the number of current lands in Animal Kingdom. I is the minimum height requirement for the dinosaur attraction in centimeters. And C is the number of announced attractions in Pandora, the World of Avatar.
Hey, none of the things in this equation are open. I guess Animal Kingdom still is, I suppose.
Sort of. Anyway. So there you go. N times I in parentheses, all divided by C. And how long do we give them? 90 seconds?
Two minutes. 2 minutes on this
all right,
one. This
your 2 minutes is starting now.
You got 2 minutes to figure it out.
So, it's an interesting one here. Announce
current lands in Animal Kingdom. Does Planet Watch count as a land in Animal Kingdom?
Does Pandora count? I don't know.
It's not
that's
current.
A good, well, current, no. I mean, Pandora wouldn't be current then. But I guess Planet Watch would be its own land.
Well, the answers are all whole numbers.
Okay.
So if you come out with an answer and it's not a whole number, then one of your numbers is wrong.
Wow. That's good to know.
So that's kind of a self-check on your calculations there. A little bit of a hint to make things easier, or at least let you know if you did something wrong.
So for people not watching the video show, I'm going to repeat the question. It is N times I divided by C. N and I are in N times I is in parentheses and then divided by C. N is the current lands in the Magic Kingdom, in Animal Kingdom, the current number of lands in Animal Kingdom. I is the minimum height requirement in centimeters for the dinosaur attraction in Dinoland. And C is the number of announced attractions in Pandora, the world of Avatar, which may or may not ever open.
We'll give you another minute over there, Michael.
Okay.
And if you got it, just let us know.
Those are ride-through attractions for Pandora, the world of Avatar.
Mm.
Yes, the Pandora shop does not count.
Yeah, Pandora jewelry.
Okay, I think I am ready.
All right, he thinks he's got it.
All right.
All right, what do you got? What's your answer?
I am going to go... 120.
Oh, that is not correct. I am sorry.
Oh. All right. Was he close?
Well, we're gonna hold that question for later, maybe a different contestant.
Maybe somebody else could call in.
Yeah, someone knows the answer to that one. They're invited. Put it back up on the screen for a second.
Hold on the line, Michael. I'm gonna grab your info. I'll send you a little something anyway for playing the math game.
The math game
is one of those where you get something small for trying. So because it's
okay,
we put you through that. So hold on the line for me, Michael. I'll get your info in
thanks
just a moment.
Listening.
But we do appreciate you listening in, Michael. Now, does our next caller, what do you want to do? Does our next caller, can they get
they
the
get a new question?
They get a new question.
But if someone wants to call in and answer the Nick question and they think they have the right answer, they certainly can. But let's move on to our next contestant then.
All right. Our next contestant is Joe. Good evening, Joe.
Hello.
Hey, Joe, where are you calling in from?
Ohio.
All right. And you fancy yourself a proficient mathematician?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, he does. All right. All right. Let's see. Do you know what the variable is?
Yes.
Good. All right. He passes. He's going to play the math game with us tonight. So you get to choose either the Tom question, the Jason question, or the Bill Nye question.
Who is the one that went to MIT? Because I don't want that one.
Jason would be the one who went to MIT.
Okay, so I won't choose Jason. I'll go with Tom.
You would think the Tom question would be easier. All right, Mike, let's bring up the Tom question for us.
Tom was the second smartest mathematician in all of New York State.
I don't know about that. I did get the second highest score on the Math A Regents out of all high school students my year. Fun fact. Even though I went into a profession that requires absolutely no math.
So the Tom question is on the screen now. Joe, are you on the video? You can see it?
It's not up yet. I'll pull it up.
Oh, okay.
I'm there. On the video, but
there
yeah,
it is. There it is.
Now it's there. All right. So this is a T plus O in parentheses divided by M. So T is the year Walt Disney World opened. O is the age of WDWNT in years. And if I was wearing my anniversary shirt, that would make it maybe much easier for you. If you need a hint on that, just go to our T Public Score. click on the T Public link.
You turned a math question into a plug.
Pretty funny.
And look for our anniversary shirt, and you will see how old WWNT is. And M is the Space Mountain minimum height requirement in inches.
Space Mountain at the Magic Kingdom, of course.
Of course it's at the Magic Kingdom.
Well, there's multiple Space Mountains, I'm just making sure. You know, so it's T plus O in parentheses, then divided by M, which T is the year Walt Disney World opened. O is the age of WDWNT.com in years. And M is the Space Mountain minimum height requirement in inches. I'll give you a hint on O. WWNT was founded on July 8th, 2007.
Yeah, right, you just said your 9-year anniversary.
We did. So you've got one number. See if you can get the other two and figure this out.
Is the answer 45?
Is the answer 45?
That is correct.
We have a winner on the math game.
Woo! Nice job.
Work.
That was quick.
That was an easy one, I think, though.
That's probably the easiest one. That's why it was the Tom question.
Yeah, no, still it worked, which is a first for the math games. We're very happy.
All right. Well, we appreciate that, Joe. Hold on the line. I'm going to give you your choice of prizes from Theme Park Connection. Appreciate you calling in.
All right, thanks.
All right, guys, now we're going to bring on Jonathan next, and he wants to take a crack at the Animal Kingdom one. Let's
he
see.
He wants to go back to the Nick question. So, Mike, can you bring up the Nick question for everybody?
While he's doing that, good evening, Jonathan. Where are you calling us from?
Tennessee.
Tennessee. All right. Very good. And and you think you figured out this Animal Kingdom question?
Yeah, I think it's 306.
That is correct.
306 is right.
Nice.
So what is the number of current lands? It's
six.
Six current lands. Dinosaurs' height requirement in centimeters?
102.
And two announced attractions in Pandora, the world of Avatar.
All right. Well, very good. Congratulations, Jonathan. Appreciate you figuring that one out. I'm going to get you on hold, and we'll get you a prize from Theme Park Connection.
Sees the future.
Sees the future with XS. Bon voyage!
All right, so two of the math questions down. We have two left. We do have someone on hold, but we do have one question open. If you want to get that one, 407-77...
There will be one.
407-774-8255 is the number to call. And right now we're going to bring on... John? Hello?
Somebody?
John? No? You're not there?
Lost him.
All right. Well?
Now we have nobody.
All right. Well, if John calls back or somebody else, 407-774-8255, we'll get them on to play the math game.
Should we bring Connor in now since we're open?
Yeah. Want to bring Connor in now? That's fine.
All right. Connor Przycki is going to be joining us for a segment we call Versus. How's it going, Connor?
Doing all right.
Our Disneyland reporter. Back in action as of late. It's good to have you back on the scene out there.
Of course. And nice to go back to the parks. It's been busy, school stuff, life, whatever.
Yeah, life sucks. When you were here a couple weeks ago, we went to the very first Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party of 2016. But this week you also went to the very first Mickey's Halloween Party, which is the event at Disneyland Park. Tell us a little bit about that.
I should start that. The party's been at Disneyland for a few years now.
Used to be a California Adventure. It was Mickey's Halloween Treat?
I don't even remember.
Something
it was
like
horrible,
that.
Though.
Yeah.
It sucked.
Pardon my French.
Yeah, excuse me. So the party, it was all right. of course, headlining this year was the Frightfully Fun Parade. That was the big draw this year, the brand new parade.
Which is new because they've run something of a parade in years past. They called a cavalcade.
Yeah, it was Mickey's Halloween cavalcade. It was just, a bunch of characters, nothing really special. I think there was a float or two. I saw it years ago. I haven't seen it recently. Yeah. And it wasn't anything special. This parade, I guess comparing it to Boo to You is, I think it's mostly said that it's the best Disney Parks parade ever. A lot of people say that, including me. I think it's
outside of the nighttime parades, I think everyone would absolutely agree on that.
Yeah. It's absolutely a perfect parade. Just how it's how the music and everything, you know, it's just perfect. So Fight for the Fun Parade, it had a high bar to reach, and I don't think it quite made it quite, but it's a good start.
It's definitely much better than the Cavalcade, I think.
Yeah. But before the parade, we had the Headless Horseman, of course. That was another big draw this year, having the Headless Horseman come out to the West Coast. It's pretty much exactly the same as Florida, except he's walking dead slow. And, of course, this was the very first night he was shown to the public. I was there the first party night, so it may have improved. But at least in Florida, like when he goes down the street, he does a little prance, you know. He's not running
the full
exactly,
speed. Jason will remember along with me.
Oh yeah,
it used to
speed.
Be a full speed
that
gallop
was amazing.
Down the street, which was the most unbelievable thing.
That was like the highlight of the night.
Yeah, it was. Well, not that the parade and fireworks weren't great too, but
that was
really
just something amazing.
Amazing. So we kind of figured going into this, he wasn't going to be full speed in California either. He hasn't been full speed in Florida for a long time, but yeah, you're right. Four handlers?
Yeah, four escorts. Yeah, on each side of him. He had four escorts following him around. Again, that may be due to the first public showing, so they didn't really know what to expect as far as,
Well, I'm sure he's had a lot of practice walks down the route already.
Oh, sure. But, you know, you throw in the people factor and...
you don't want the horse running into the crowd, yeah.
Yeah, and just think about how much narrower our streets are in Disneyland. Our parade route is tiny compared to Magic Kingdom.
That's true. That's a really good point.
It's about a third smaller, so, you know, you'd have a lot less reaction time if a kid runs out into the street, wants to go pet the horse.
Yeah.
So that may be another factor, but again, regardless, it's still cool. You know, they do the little speech at the beginning about, you know, the whole, like, the short story, and it's still pretty cool having him come. It's the same exact costume from Florida. He's holding his head. The horse is giant. It's pretty awesome. The parade was all right. So they built some brand new floats. I think all the floats were new, actually.
Well, except for the castle float, which is recycled from Parade of
Dreams. That hurt my soul seeing that.
We both have castle floats we just reuse constantly.
Yeah, except ours is now cut in half and painted black. It hurts. Okay, so the parade was good. It started out with, oh my gosh, I can't remember now. What did it start out with?
Well, there's a whole video people could watch at WWNT.com.
Go watch that.
Mike, can you bring up the video while we're talking about it? There you go.
I can give the quick highlights of what really struck me as...
The Nightmare Before Christmas floats were really neat. Like, the mare in the car, I thought, was really cool.
Yeah, the mare in the tiny purse.
The face spins. Like, they clearly spent money on a couple of floats. My initial thought is, when Boo to You premiered, it was pretty much like the Cavalcade out there. There wasn't a whole lot of floats. It was real short. And then slowly over years, they just kept adding to it until it got to the point where it is now. That's kind of what I think they're going to do here is every year they'll budget a new float or two to really make this something special. Because, Mike, maybe hit the full screen button there. People can see it a little better. I don't know if that'll work. Like you said, it's a real good start.
Yeah, but that's definitely like Boo to You. Like it's been going since 2005. Like it's the current version, I think. You know, so they've had a lot of time to work out what works and what doesn't work.
Yeah.
For example, the Haunted Mansion float. We of course pretty much have something similar with we have the three hitchhiking ghosts in the front doing their little dance.
It's very similar. Yeah.
Very similar, but I think I think one of the weakest parts of this parade is the music. We have a rendition of It's Halloween from the Paris version, the Paris parade.
Yeah.
It doesn't really work.
I don't know why they wouldn't use Boo to You, but I guess probably Florida's so protective of that parade.
Yeah, I just want Boo to You.
Or this one.
You did that thing where you broke the music again.
What do you mean I broke the music?
It's playing slow.
Is it?
It is. Yeah. That's a woman singing, by the way. Oh, Nick.
Okay.
Yeah,
just the fact that Booty was composed for a parade of for that parade, for the choreography was made for those floats and so on and so forth. This stuff just seemed really shoehorned in. The choreography for the Grave Diggers was nowhere near as cool as it is in Florida because they kind of have to match it to the music.
Yeah.
So that's where it kind of like eh. And speaking on the Grave Diggers, that's probably one of my favorite parts of Boo to You. And you see that like an army of Grave Diggers in the butler outfits come out. And, we get far less than, and that may be due to the smaller parade route again. There's only about eight or so of them, along with the the caretaker and his dog.
Though, Christmas Fantasy, you guys do the full battalion of toy soldiers, so it's certainly not.
No, we don't. No, we don't.
No?
We don't get nearly as much as Once Upon a Christmas.
No?
No. We only get about 12, or sometimes less. Yeah, about like a few trumpets and the drummer, and that's it.
That's sad.
Yeah, it is kind of sad. But again, I think it's because our parade route's so tiny. It's so cute. Let's see. So that was cool. There was the dancers, like the ballroom dancers. My favorite float from the whole parade was actually the Vasilier float, the willow tree with him sitting on the throne with all the little idols around him. It was really cool.
Yeah, it's a cute little parade. It's an improvement, at least.
Yeah. The correct cuff float was pretty cool. Frollo was on it, and that was weird. Yeah, it was good. Watch the video. I think, like I said, it's a good first step.
Yeah. And then Halloween Screams got some upgrades this year?
Halloween Screams got some upgrades this year. They
pulled up the video of that?
All the Disneyland Forever infrastructure, all the projectors and all the cool lighting stuck around. Some of it did, not all of it, but some of it stuck around. So we got some projections for the show. We got some new cool lighting effects. And I still stand by that that's now the greatest show, the best fireworks show that Disneyland puts on right now since we've lost Remember. It's a really great show. I would compare it to Hollow Wishes, but they're good for different reasons. Hollow Wishes is good because it's grand, and that goes for all kind of lot of pyro. Disneyland Halloween Screams is good because it has a lot of weird, cool special effects with lighting, with the jack orbs, kind of cool. We lose a lot lower low level fireworks. We use those more often. So overall, both shows are really good.
So, I went to the Disneyland Halloween party like 2 years ago, first time. We had a really good time. Obviously, I thought the Florida one was better just because it's had a lot more time to grow. There's a lot more to it. That being said, there were some very positive things about the Disneyland show. I thought the fireworks show was really enjoyable. I liked a lot of the character meet and greet opportunities. The tree trails were a lot of real great quality candy and were very well put together. What do you think? Which one do you like better?
Not So Scary is way better.
Yeah. It's had time to grow. I mean, it's kind of...
Yeah. The fact that the stage show is so awesome.
Hocus Pocus was awesome.
Yeah. It's just way more organized. Everything's much more concise. Disneyland's like, it's just still kind of jumbled. Like, all the treat trails are so close together. Like, you go out of a treat trail, and like, the next one's like 5 feet apart. And that goes again, we don't have the space, but not so scary. Just has a lot more going for it.
All right, Connor. Well, thank you very much. We appreciate it. Well, we're going to have you back in second hour. You're going to be joining us for the 45 greatest things ever at Walt Disney World. You're going to argue with us?
Yes.
All right. Sounds good. We'll see you next hour.
Bye.
Nick, what's going on? Do we have any more contestants for the math game?
Yep, we have Joe called back. So we're going to bring Joe on the line right now to play. I think this is our fourth and final math game question.
But no, there's still two
more. No, it's third.
There's still two. Oh, yeah. Third one. Okay, yeah, that's right. So one person doubled up on the one that was there.
What does he have to choose from between Jason and Bill Nye?
Yes.
Well, real quick, 407-774-8255. We do have that one space left. Lots of prizes left still on the board from Theme Park Connection. Everybody's picking the Disneyland California Adventure coin, actually, tonight right here. If you haven't seen it the first time, the grand opening coin. It's very nice. And so really everybody's picking that. So we're going to bring on Joe right now. Good evening, Joe. Where are you calling in from?
Hey, this is John from Colorado.
John from Colorado. How are you doing, John?
Good job.
Joe already won a prize.
So, hey, thank you for calling in to play the math game with us tonight. And we're gonna hook you up with a question here now. So we got Bill Nye or Jason, right?
That's correct.
Which question would you like, Bill Nye or Jason?
I think I'll go with Jason.
All right.
Jason question.
All right, okay. Jason, take it over.
So we've got, are you on the video?
Yep. Yes.
All right. So you can see the Jason question right now. It's J minus parentheses S plus O times N.
This looks complicated.
This is complicated, and you need to know order of operation.
Oh, goodness.
J is the duration of the Rock and Roller Coaster ride in seconds. S is the number of years Fantasmic has been shown as of
October 2016. O is the number of sections in the Hollywood Hills Amphitheater. And N is the number of restaurants in the Fantasmic dinner package. Number of restaurants you can choose from.
Asterisks.
There's a what? What is there, Nick?
Asterisk?
There's an asterisk.
There's an
You're asterisk.
So your 2 minutes will start now.
I'm going to give them three for this one. I'm giving them three
minutes.
Right. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
That's happening. So thank you.
All right. So go ahead. Your time has started.
All right. So first of all, Nick's questions may not add up correctly, but at least they don't make them this complicated here.
So, it's for those not watching the video show. I want to spell it out for you.
Yeah.
It's J minus parentheses begin S plus O multiplied by N close parentheses. J is the duration of the Rock and Roller Coaster attraction at Hollywood Studios in seconds. S is the years Fantasmic has been shown at the park. O is the number of sections in the Hollywood Hills Amphitheater. And N is the possible restaurants in the Fantasmic dining package.
So, order of operations, that's where I always go wrong.
Yeah?
I think so.
Really? It's just, I will help out
is
a
that,
little.
Is that foil?
It's always parentheses first.
Parentheses first, which
yeah.
Actually, in this case, Michael, I don't know if you typed it this way on purpose or not, but the parentheses aren't necessarily, they're not in the wrong place, but they're not in a helpful place either.
What is foil, Jason?
Foil?
Yeah, is it foil?
Foil is used to expand a binomial equation.
Can I just stop everyone for a second? We have yelled about theme of attractions and whether things belong in certain places and best attraction characters. This is by far the nerdiest moment in the last 9 years of this website. Just want to put that out there. But go ahead, Michael. What are we saying?
Well, so I could actually ask my 12-year-old daughter, Caitlin, about order of operations. Caitlin, why don't you come and tell us what you know about order of operations in math?
I thought it was foil.
Stop trying to exploit your children.
I thought it was foil first, outside, inside, foil. Last.
It's what's the acronym that you know? PEMDAS. She says PEMDAS. Did you hear that? PEMDAS.
PEMDAS. That's what we did.
Right?
I don't remember PEMDAS.
So PEMDAS.
I was absent that day.
It's because you went to school in New England.
PEMDAS is parentheses first, then exponents, mm-hmm. and then multiplication. And then division,
and then
addition, and then subtraction. Yeah. So in this instance, all you really need to know is that you need to multiply before you add or subtract.
This show is more edutaining than Epcot has been in 20 years.
Yes, it is.
I'm pretty sure John's put this on mute, so he doesn't have any distractions while figuring this out. John, are you close to getting this?
I think so.
Do you need about 30 more seconds?
Sure.
I'll give you about 30 more seconds.
Okay. Quick reminder, everybody, coming up next hour, we've got the 45 greatest moments. 45 greatest moments. I'm thinking about every segment we've ever
45
done.
45 greatest things.
See, because we've done that so many times. This is even bigger than that. This is the 45 greatest things ever at Walt Disney World. We had people vote on a list that was about 1,000 options.
It was ridiculous.
And it had to be whittled down to 45. It's foods, restaurants, smells, attractions, characters. Everything was in there. We're going to see what the 45 absolute greatest things ever were coming up next hour. So stay tuned for that.
Okay, I'm ready, Nick.
All right. Sounds good. What do you have for your answer?
44.
Jason?
Wow, that's really close. I think we should give it to him.
How close is it?
The correct answer is 45.
Oh, we're going to give that.
Yeah, we'll give that to him.
We're going to give it to him. Can you go over his numbers so we can see exactly where he may have gone wrong?
Show your work.
Okay. The duration is 82.
That's correct.
The number of years, it's 18.
That's correct.
Yep.
The sections in Hollywood Hills Amphitheater, 10.
That's correct.
And then the possible restaurants and the dinner package is 2.
It's actually 3.
It's actually 3.
It's 3, Mama Melrose, Hollywood and Vine, and the Hollywood Brown Derby.
What's the third one?
The Hollywood Brown Derby.
The Brown Derby, the Mama Melrose.
And Hollywood and Vine.
Hollywood and Vine, huh?
Yeah, the buffet.
Mama Melrose counts. No one would choose that one on purpose.
It's still an available choice.
It's fine. It was so close. There's no reason not to give it.
No,
according to the website, it only has those. It only has the Brown Derby and Mama Melrose.
You might have been looking at what's available. Maybe not. Maybe Hollywood and Vine was booked.
Was booked. Probably. Could be. Yep. But that's all right. Close enough. 44 is close enough.
You're right. It's on there when you pull down the availability, right?
But you did a fantastic job. You're off by 1. That was a really difficult question. You definitely pulled
down. Yeah, that was a good question, Jason.
Yeah, well, that was the MIT one.
You did it in 3 minutes.
Congratulations.
That's impressive. So you're going to be getting a prize from Theme Park Connection. Nick will let you choose something
out
of his bag of goodies there. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you.
Thanks, Jonathan. John. I get names wrong. We have Jonathan, Joe. Sorry about that, guys.
Jeez.
I get it right.
Do we have anyone for the 4th question?
No. It looks like that's it. If we get any more calls by the end of the night, we have time. We'll put you on.
We got three winners tonight.
We do.
That's really good for the math game.
People did good tonight. Yeah. So if you want to try to jump in on that, it's 407-774-8255.
Nick, we are not taking a visit to the wonderful world of psychotic comments this week.
You know, unfortunately not, Tom. I was, you know, getting the things ready that we were going to be doing in the second hour of this show, and I apologize. That means we're going to have lots of comments for our next live show.
Which isn't next week.
Yeah.
Nicholas.
Hey, Nick's going to New York Comic Con next week. And I'm going to have fun there, and you know, maybe there'll be some stuff there that we can report back to on WDWNT, of course.
Absolutely.
There might be some announcements. There might be some cool things.
We got a bunch of people going as media.
Yeah, good contingent of most of the people from Nerd Alert.
Yeah.
And Jedi Girlfriends. Actually, both podcasts are going. Nerd Alert.
Are you guys going to fight in like the alleys?
We should.
Jacob Javits. Is it a Jacob Javits?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, we should have some kind of face off while we're there. I can't wait till this November for the charity show. We're doing Family Feud again, right?
Oh yeah, we have for sure. Family Feud.
Yeah.
That's coming up, man. It's almost October.
How many hours are we doing this?
45.
Year?
45 hour show to benefit Toys for Tots.
Four to five hours.
No.
We'll see how it goes. Four to five hours.
45 hours. While Nick's taking a phone call, I want to plug again. For our WIGS members, the WDWNT Interglobe Society, which you can join at patreon.com/WDWNT, you help support the return on a regular basis of the podcast, this show, and everything we do here at WDWNT, and you get some cool stuff in return. One of the cool things you get in return is going to be a post-show tonight to WDW News Tonight, a half-hour post-show exclusive to $13 and higher members of the WDWNT Interglobe Society. Again, join at patreon.com/WDWNT. Again, coming up shortly, hour 2 is going to begin, and we've got the we're doing it one time only on here. It is a podcast and YouTube segment. Typically, it's not meant for this show, but we decided we wanted to give it a big start this week. The 45 greatest things ever in the history of Walt Disney World going to be kicking off in hour 2. So make sure you join us, but I guess Nick isn't involved. So we're going to take a break. We're going to be back with hour 2 of what should be a great 45-year celebration of Walt Disney World here on WDW News Tonight. Number 2 of WDW News Tonight. This is our 45th anniversary of Walt Disney World Special Edition.
The first hour, we had the successful return of the math game.
Woo-hoo!
What?
So great with Jason in person, too.
Yeah.
The mastermind behind it.
Yeah, Jason in studio this week. We did the news. We talked about our big T Public sale. Go to WWNT.com, click that T Public link. Shirts on sale for $14, including Make the Movie Ride Great Again.
Yeah.
That's real great. What else? We did a lot of other stuff. O'Connor talked about Disneyland's Halloween party. And so next week, we're not here. Thanks, Nick.
Hey. You'll need some time to rest from Celebration and
yeah, I know.
The 45th.
Got to get some podcasts done. It'll be good to have some.
And the Muppets on Sunday.
Yeah, I got a lot to do this week.
This
job is rough, and the boss is a real jerk, this new job. Anyway.
Well, this is going to be fun because we're going to do we got the 45 greatest things ever at Walt Disney
World.
Yeah,
this is big. So we're starting, it's supposed to be a podcast segment and also a YouTube series, but we're starting it. We're at least going to start the first one here on WW News Tonight, which is a big deal. We figured this week's the anniversary. Why not do something cool on the show this week and why not do one live? And it might be kind of fun. So that's coming up next when we come back. But in the show in 2 weeks, it's going to be your birthday.
Yeah, it is.
When we come back on. It's on here somewhere.
October 12th,
it's going to be your birthday, so you're going to have a Nicholas Cicero birthday show.
Yeah, it's actually the second time because we moved from Saturdays to Wednesdays.
I'm just going to keep moving the show every year so you never get to have a birthday night again.
No, it's great. I can't think of a better place to have my birthday celebration than right here with my friend Tom and whoever else wants to come by.
I'm going to plan some surprises for you.
Aww.
Yeah, no, we're going to have a Nicholas Cicero birthday celebration.
Last time we were able to go to the park after the show, but we end the show too late nowadays.
Yeah, the show used to be, what, was that when it was 1 hour?
I think we did 7, did we do 7 to 8?
7 to 9 when we went to 2 hours. The original show was 7 to 8. Remember it was on Saturdays?
It was.
I used to get screamed at unmercifully that I was ruining someone's weekend. I can't imagine why I didn't get married. anyway, 7 to 8 on Saturdays, then it was 7 to 9, and then we moved to the middle of the week. But anyway, I did.
Yeah, we did.
We're wasting time. Nick, who brings us this wonderful new program, WW News Tonight, each and every week?
All right, let's try this. I had some water beforehand. I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm ready for it tonight. WW News Tonight is brought to you by Magical Travel. Magical Travel is an authorized Disney vacation planner and always ready to assist you in making your next trip to the Walt Disney World Resort, Disneyland Resort, or aboard the Disney Cruise Line even more magical. Right now, you can enjoy a four-day, four-night stay. See, that's what messed me up last time. How can it be 4 days and four nights? Isn't one number always bigger than
they kick you out right at midnight? Checkout is at midnight now. For Halloween only.
Oh boy. 4 day, 4 night stay. Is that right?
Well, it includes 4 days of tickets.
Okay. Okay. 4 day, 4 night stay in
That's
a standard
telling.
Room at a select all-star resort with one park per day Magic Your Way base tickets for just $19.80. Book through October 8th, 2016 for stays most nights, November 6th through December 21st, 2016. Number of rooms available for this offer is limited, so make sure to act fast. For more information on this offer or many, many more, visit magicaltravel.com and book your next Disney trip today.
All right, folks, when we come back, it is going to be time. We're going to get right into it as soon as we come back. The 45 greatest things ever at Walt Disney World. I'm so excited. Probably most exciting segment we've ever done before. The results are going to amaze, is all I can say. So when we come back, that's going to get started. We'll be right back.
Tomorrow is still but a dream. Right here and now, you've got it made. The world's forward marching and you're in the parade. Now is the time, now is the best time. Here's the time of joy.
WDWNT counts down the 45 greatest things ever at the Walt Disney World Resort. Brought to you by WDWNT, the app.
Welcome to the 45 greatest things ever at Walt Disney World, our very first edition of the segment celebrating 45 years of the vacation kingdom of the world. I'm your host for the segment, Tom Corliss. Joining me will be a number of panelists from around WDWNT.com. But first, let me explain to you exactly what we're doing in this new segment. So this, if you've listened to the podcast for any number of years, we've done a number of countdowns. We've done the 25 biggest moments in the history of Hollywood studios. We did the 20 biggest moments in the history of Hollywood studios. The 30 biggest moments at Epcot. The 40 biggest moments overall for Walt Disney World. So we wanted to do something different. We didn't want to do moments. We wanted to know, in the Walt Disney World experience, what is absolutely the most important thing to people? What is it about Walt Disney World? Is it just attractions? Is it resorts? Is it dining? Is it, what is it that makes Disney World Disney World for people? So in honor of the 45th anniversary, what we did is we put together this giant, giant list. There was about 1,000 options, and thousands of people voted to whittle down those 1,000 options to just 45. And those 45 things have been ranked according to the number of votes they received. And we're going to count down what are, in your opinion, the 45 greatest things that have ever existed at the Walt Disney World Resort. Sound good, everybody?
Sounds fantastic.
Yes. Right. I was very pumped for this. I remember when we came up with this idea like a year ago. Then we forgot it, and then we re-remembered
it. We didn't forget. We just, it wasn't time for it.
No, I think we came up with it, and then we were like, what is the idea? We actually, because I think we originally thought of doing this for a March Madness type thing.
Yeah.
And then we forgot what it was, and then we re-remembered it.
Yeah. I love this 20,000 Leagues music behind me. But anyway, the fantastic panel we have with us tonight, Ashley Jasmer is with us. Say hello. Maybe. And everybody's muted.
Hi. There we
go.
Hi.
Connor Przycki.
What's up?
David Smith.
Hey, everybody.
Patrick Hackett. Nope. Your mic isn't on again. You do this every time. Oh, boy. Someday you'll figure it out. Ron Deanna.
Aloha.
There's Ron, kind of off screen. Jason Diffendall.
Hey, howdy, hey.
Sitting right across from me. There's Jason. And, of course, over there, the handsome announcer, Nicholas Sisser.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Patrick, you have your mic yet? No, of course not. Anyway. All right. Well, hopefully Patrick will figure that out at some point. So tonight we're doing the first five. First five greatest things. So this is going to be 45 through 41 on the countdowns. We're counting down all the way to number one over the next couple weeks and months. So is everybody ready to get this thing going?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Yes. Then let's begin. What is moment number 45?
Number 45.
Automated driving technology activated.
Welcome to the Sim Track. We'll begin with the capability test to see how your vehicle designs perform under challenging weather and surface conditions.
Monitoring road surface. Connecting to OnStar. SimCar performance data acquired.
Test track 2012.
Well, there you go. We're starting off with the new test track, the 2012 test track presented by Chevrolet. I'm upset that this is on here.
Yeah, it's at the bottom shocked. Of the list.
I'm annoyed.
Yes, this is
greatly
ridiculous.
Annoyed.
Yeah, it's at the bottom of the list, but it apparently wasn't far down enough on the list not for us to have to deal with it.
Yeah, who just did made this? It obviously at 45. Who did this? We're insulting. We are one.
We're clearly
one
plenty
thing.
Of people.
We're one thing into the list, and we've already insulted everyone who helped us make the list.
What were
Our
they thinking?
Are dumb.
Did they vote for? The original
voted
Amazon?
Wrong.
As I drink from my tin cup with my pinky out, I'm going to insult the listeners. It's so stupid.
I mean, how? Did you actually go on this, or did you just think, oh, it's new?
So here's the thing with Test Track is, well, let me read you some background information. We do have some background information. I know I was so ready to yell about this one that I didn't even read what I had here. So, of course, on January 6, 2012, Disney Parks announced plans to renovate Test Track during the second and third quarters of the year and reopen the ride by the fall of 2012. Good one. As part of the update, Test Track sponsor became GM's Chevrolet marquee instead of GM as a whole. The new additions included a pre-show area where guests design a new car for testing in the Chevrolet Design Center, and then they board Test Track's existing six-passenger ride vehicle sim cars to see how their designs fare on the center's driving course. Not that the ride actually changes when you do anything. The original ride closed on April 15, 2012. In the meantime, guests could enjoy a musical show called the Test Track All-Stars, which, spoiler alert, did not make this list.
Enjoy?
It was added in front of the former main entrance to Test Track. The refurbished attraction first opened to guests during a soft opening on December 3rd, 2012, and the grand reopening took place on December 6th, and has since received generally mixed to negative reviews.
Apparently not.
But not really, because it made the 45
greatest things
greatest
ever.
Greatest things ever.
Ever.
Laser trees are one of the 45 greatest things ever. Laser trees and laser linden.
Okay, so let me play the part of the dumb listener for a second.
Oh, jeez.
try to explain wow. what they may have been thinking. It basically is the original Test Track. You have the same thrill that you always had. You had the same attraction that you always had, just with a lighting overlay. But you added on top of
that. Well, you painted everything black.
Right. But you added on top of that some elements in the queue that made it, you know, a little bit more fun to wait in line for it. So the design your own vehicle is actually a decent interactive element, even though it has no bearing with what happens on the attraction itself. It still, you know, adds something. It adds a little bit of competitiveness between your group on those that are riding it. You get your results at the end. So
basically you're saying guests like to be patronized.
Sort of.
I'm not saying they're smart. I'm just saying they enjoyed it.
I do kind of agree with David. I mean, for most people when I was down a couple weeks ago, my group had way more fun designing the cars and then arguing about whose was legitimately better.
Oh, it's fun.
After the ride than we did on. I mean, it's still Test Track, but I do think most people do enjoy designing the cars.
Is it though, Ashley? Is it still Test
Track? I'm not saying it deserves to be on the list. I'm just saying devil's advocate. I get why people voted for it.
I will say that if you are maybe a parent voting and you went with your kids, you probably did. Because I went with kids for the first time not too long ago, actually, and they were all very competitive about their cars. And I
like designing the car. That's not at all my problem.
Well,
with
No. But what I'm saying is I think parents then, if they go with their kids and the kids get enjoyment out of this, then the parents are probably more likely to feel an overall more enjoyment for the attraction.
I wish Bill McKim and Sherry were like talking us through designing our car. That'd be great.
So are you saying the only thing that makes the new Test Track bad is that you don't have those nostalgic ties that you had?
Well, no, it needs a human touch more than anything. I think it's really soulless. Like, you ever been on Transformers at Universal? It just is this soulless ride. There's no soul to it. There's no people in it at all, really, except two weird guys in the queue that are acting horribly. There's no music in the ride. It's just this big soulless thing. And that's how I feel with new Test Track. Like, it's really pretty, and it's got some neat stuff going on, but it just feels like this big automated process. It's the same way you feel like when you call someone and you get the automated, like, rigmarole, and you're like, well, I'd really like to just talk to a human being. Yeah. And that's kind of how I feel with new Test Track.
That's definitely a big part of it. I think the other big part of it is the same problem that plagues Dinosaur versus Indiana Jones. And there's just a lot of darkness.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of darkness, and you know it's the same track, but there's kind of not a lot of purpose to it anymore. So, you know, they use the same track that already existed and shoehorn a new ride in, and they couldn't really put the track to all of its intended use, so they just made it dark. And I feel it's really a wasted opportunity.
So I made the case for it. Now let me make the case why it shouldn't be on this list, because I think, Tom, you're absolutely right. There's no emotion in this attraction. You don't come out of there thinking anything other than, hey, I just played a video game. And so I think there really is – I don't see how there's any attachment to anybody to this. And to give you an example of what I mean, on our last trip, we were in Epcot 2 full days. The only thing we didn't do in Epcot was Test Track, just because we couldn't get fast passes. We didn't feel like waiting. And you know what? Nobody complained in our group. So,
well, what were we attached to with the original Test Track? Like, more, a lot of it had to do with the characters.
The pre-show.
Didn't it? Pre-show. Yeah, characters.
The pre-show.
Yeah.
It was a fun experience. Like, there's this just this banging. I know people make fun of that music, but I love, like, the banging music. And then, like, there's this hint of sarcasm to the pre-show that was really endearing. But then also, like, there's stuff going on. Like, do you remember to turn off those robots? And she's just like, oh, getting sprayed with toxic chemicals.
Yeah, there's some little jokes that make the experience funny and personal that the new attraction just doesn't have.
Like, you see the car, like, they tease you with the car crash in the pre-show. They don't say it's going to happen. Then you pull into that room and that car has clearly just crashed. And then you, like, suddenly the lights come on and you're facing straight at that wall and you're like, oh, man. As opposed to the new Test Track where they're like, all right, it's time for the power test. You know?
And remember back when that car used to actually crash.
Yeah, I mean, in the very, very, very beginning, yeah. I mean, Test Track is kind of the king of effects that were built at opening and never turned back on.
But there's a lot, like, that's another room where it's just kind of darkness because they don't have a way to take advantage of what's there, so they just make a lot of
darkness. It's literally just circles lighting up. That scene is circles lighting up, and then you drive through some rings, and that's the scene.
This upgrade reminds me of, like, what they're doing now with VR coasters. They don't really add anything to the experience. They just kind of make
it's a VR coaster without the headset. You're pretty much right. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we're time to move on. I think we've yelled about Test Track enough. On to the next moment, Nicholas.
Number 44.
I'll show you who's boss.
Mickey's PhilharMagic.
And from one that everyone's kind of angry about, I think this is one probably everyone's going to be real happy about. I'm glad this made it. PhilharMagic's pretty wonderful. Well, let me read you a little background in case you're unfamiliar. Mickey's PhilharMagic is unique in being one of the very select number of attractions, at least back then, that Disney theme parks, in which Imagineering collaborated with another division of the company, in this instance, Walt Disney Feature Animation. At the time, the only other ways they had teamed up was Fantasmic at both Disneyland and Disney's Hollywood Studios. Since then, of course, there's been a lot more collaboration as there's a lot more IP attractions now, and they figured it's best to work with the people who actually make those movies. But between the two companies, some of Disney's top talent worked together on this attraction, including Disney veteran Alex Mann, who was instrumental in developing and scripting the final story. Legendary Disney animator Glenn Keane re-rendered Ariel from The Little Mermaid in 3D, returning after he originally drew her in 2D for the actual film. Nick Ranieri, supervising animator for Lumiere and Beauty and the Beast, returned to animate that character in 3D. As well, a lot of the heart comes from Donald Duck is the main character of the show, and it's all archival recordings from the original Donald Duck voice actor Clarence Nash. Tony Anselmo did record only 5 new lines for the attraction, but it's mostly original Donald dialogue. The film was directed by George Scribner, who is best known for directing Disney's 1988 animated film Oliver and Company, and it is shown on the largest purpose-built 3D screen ever made at 150 feet wide. Such a successful attraction, it was immediately cloned for Hong Kong Disneyland, since also opened at Tokyo Disneyland as well. A beloved attraction, despite only being open the last 13 years. What does everybody think about PhilharMagic on the list?
One of the finest attractions Magic Kingdom has to offer.
This attraction certainly fits the mold of classic Disney World attractions.
It comes out of the Dark Ages.
Well, yeah, it does.
A really bad time in Imagineering.
It does. It does. And they did a phenomenal job. It has a timeless quality to it as well. It's not based on some intellectual property of the moment. It's based on classic Walt Disney characters. It's very well done, and it's one of the new classics. It really is.
Yeah, it's a charming story, and it's great to have, you know, like, you know, Mickey and the gang in a fun attraction at Walt Disney World, that at the Magic Kingdom specifically, there in Fantasyland, that kind of does, stand the test of time a bit. Someday it will be outdated, but right now I think it's still something that people are still amazed at, you know, when they see those 3D effects, people are still oohing and aahing out there in the audience. And then, of course, the effect at the end, which was one of my all-time favorite effects, though I'm a little biased being a Donald fan, but I love the Donald flying into the back of the wall. It's great.
It's definitely a lot of fun and the best of at least the existing 3D movies that's around there. And
there's only so many left.
And it's also the best thing that's ever been in that space. I was never a fan of the Lion King show that was
That was a good show.
I love that show.
And I think everybody kind of just is creeped out by Magic Journeys.
Yeah.
No.
And I don't think anybody on this panel is actually old enough to remember the Mickey Mouse review.
Yeah, closed in 81 to move to Tokyo. Anyway, Connor, you got to talk about this because I feel like the Disneylanders first trip out here, usually this is the one, because there's only so much that's completely original to Florida. This is the one that they usually freak out about, and this is the one I always kind of show off.
Yeah, definitely. The first trip back in 2011, I think we watched it 4 or 5 times that day. I absolutely love Florida Magic. I'm so happy it's on the list. I don't know what it is about it, just the way the music flows with the animation on screen and the 3D effects. It's just, it works so well. I don't know. I love Florida Magic. From a Disneylander perspective, we don't have anything like this. And it really, really makes me sad because I really love Florida Magic. So I'm really happy it's on the list.
Anyone else?
Well, I just want to say one of the reasons I really do like that it's on the list and think it deserves it is because when I was like kind of thinking of my 45 things, I really wanted stuff that was original to the parks here in Florida.
Makes sense. It's the 45 greatest things ever at Disney.
Yeah, World. So I like to kind of favor that. And this, like you said, is one of the finest things we have to offer. It's one of those things we can put out there from Walt Disney World and say, you know, here, look, you know, this is different. If you've seen things in other parks, you haven't seen this yet. And it is something we could be proud of to put out there and show people as one of their first attractions when they come here.
Ashley, did you have something?
No, I think everybody has just about said it all. It's definitely one of my favorites. Being a child of the late 80s, early 90s, most of those movies are my childhood. And so to be able to see them kind of all woven together in a story is really kind of wonderful. I mean, when Ariel, you know, reaches her hand out to you, that's one of the coolest effects. And it's simple, but just the care that they took to bring back a lot of the original animators. I mean, even though it was the Dark Ages, like Jason said, they took the time to do it right. And I think that may have even been a tipping point, a turning point for where they started getting it right again, showing that they could put time and effort into doing things the right way at Imagineering again.
Yeah, and I think the marriage of Imagineering and the animation department has been something really special, and that, and Pixar animation included. I mean, World of Color, phenomenal marriage of the two, using existing footage and even creating footage maybe that didn't exist in the movie to fit scenes there. And the work they did on Little Mermaid, and you think about Cars Land, and that they worked with Pixar while they were developing Cars 2, and there were things that ended up from Cars Land in Cars 2 and vice versa. Just a really, really healthy relationship, which you kind of wonder why that was never a thing before. But one thing we said with Test Drive, which David agreed with me, was the kind of the soulless feeling. That's the opposite with Filler Magic. I think it's filled with a lot of heart, which is the kind of the hallmark of the Disney animated feature film, at least either of the two golden ages. I think these are movies that touch people and make people feel things. And Filler Magic, you know, it's a real big challenge to make people feel things in just a few minutes you have in a theme park attraction. But Filler Magic does it very quickly. And yes, it has those movies to fall back on and the feelings you have in those movies, but it really captures those feelings. They rush back to you. I think the feelings of watching those movies at home, just how grand of a scale and the musical notes and the character representation is just all done so well that it's just perfect. I think PhilharMagic in every way is a perfect attraction.
I agree.
Oh, Patrick, you're alive.
Patrick!
That was awful.
Anyway. All right, Nick, let's go on to our next moment.
Number 43.
Stormtroopers will be deactivated for sure.
Hold it right there, Captain.
I'm not actually the captain.
We're looking for this rebel spy. Have you seen him?
No one on this transport could possibly be a spy. Dear.
This is the speeder we're looking for. Blast them!
Shields are part two.
Star Tours. The adventure continues.
The adventures continue, but nice training.
I'll get on that voice guy about that one.
Yeah, that voice guy sucks.
Wow.
In April 2005, at Star Wars Celebration 3, creator George Lucas confirmed that a Star Tours 2 was in production after years of rumors that it would be a pod racing ride. In May 2009, Slash Film reported that filming for the new Star Tours was underway in West Hollywood. During pre-production, one of the locations that Imagineers wanted guests to visit was the ice planet of Hoth, while it was under siege by Imperial walkers. However, the idea was quickly scrapped because it would interfere with the attraction's placement in the Star Wars timeline between episodes 3 and 4. According to former Imagineer Jason Sorrell, after the Hoth battle idea was replaced with an encounter with the planet's native fauna, or Tauntauns and the Wampas, the concept was presented to George Lucas. And Lucas, although liking the idea, requested that the battle scene be used instead, even if it meant disrupting the series canon. Lucas added, quote-unquote, who cares? The Kashyyyk sequence was suggested by John Lasseter, and Industrial Light and Magic, of course, was responsible for the extensive computer-generated imagery throughout the attraction. The ride was finally announced at the 2009 D23 Expo in Anaheim, the first one ever. And the original Star Tours closed in Florida and California in October of 2010 and would reopen in May and June of 2011, respectively, as Star Tours 2, eventually being renamed Star Tours, The Adventures Continue. It would be an updated ride system with high-definition 3D video using Dolby 3D technology, an improved motion simulator, as well as several other newly added special effects. A short teaser was shown at the expo, of course, featuring pod racing, just to troll everyone who was sitting there and thinking we were getting that pod racing attraction finally. Finally, though, everyone realized there was actually 54 combinations, and the number grows with the addition of new sequences which have come since. The attraction finally opened on May 20th, 2011, to some fanfare before Disney purchased Star Wars, but kind of the beginning of Disney and that Star Wars marriage that eventually blossomed into purchasing. So if this was a historically significant countdown, obviously historically significant would be an understatement on this moment, but we are talking about things here, and Star Tours is the 43rd greatest thing ever. Star Tours The Adventures Continue, Nick. The 43rd greatest thing ever at Walt Disney World.
Multiple adventures continue, not just one adventure continuing multiple times.
I may be alone in this, but I am shocked that it's actually so low on the list.
Me too.
Because I think, you know, this update is, in my mind, the perfect update for this ride technology, for this property. It fits so well. It really refreshed the whole experience of this attraction. And it made it something that you want to ride every single time.
Yep. I was going to say, you know, we started off with Test Track and how the do-over of Test Track really ripped its soul out. And here we are with Star Tours 2, and it's the complete opposite. You know, this really did, you know, bring back a relatively old attraction with relatively old technology and brought it into the present with brand new sequences, you know, 3D, brand new additions like the Rebel Spy. There's definitely some great additions to this attraction that has made the refreshing of it quite successful, in my opinion.
You know, I didn't really care about the Canon thing when it opened. You know, I was fine with it. Now it's really bad now. Because, like, the other day I go on there and I get the Darth Vader opening. I'm like, yeah, Darth Vader. Then we go to Jakku. The Empire has fallen, clearly. Like, he's dead. We just saw him. That there's the First Order now. Then BB-8 shows up. Then we go to Naboo. We just went from... We went from over here. Then we went to here. And then we went way over here somewhere. What is going on?
Well, it's a time travel machine too now. That's
it's like Back to the Future. Are we hitting 88 miles an hour at light speed?
It travels space and time.
Years? Like, it was kind of negligible when you're bouncing between the prequels and the episode 4 timeline. Because you really do. Everything that happens in the original trilogy in Star Tours, The Adventures Continue, takes place probably around episode 4, which is negligible. Like, yeah, there's the droid fighters, but you could say, like, there were some of them still around, maybe. Like, it's not that big of a deal. But if you're jumping 30 years in the future now, too, like, Finn is clearly showing up. Like, what?
I bet you the majority of the people who even ride it don't even, that doesn't even register to them.
I think that one
does.
Yeah.
Now it does.
Because he's clearly dead. He holds the burnt helmet.
Spoiler alert. Real quick.
Well, I mean,
I almost wish that they would have, you could have like a prequels scenario and then, you know, the original trilogy scenario. And then with all the new, I hope
they should almost segment them.
The further new movies come out that they could almost, so you have a timeline track. The canon is kind of kept intact. And so it doesn't throw people off. It feels, because it feels very jarring.
Who cares?
John Jordan. I care, okay? People
go back care. To San Francisco
it's
and
weird.
Who cares?
I mean, until they do
it's,
that.
No, it's jarring. Like, it is, it's weird. To it, see
it, it's jar jarring.
Until they do that, it's basically a Star Wars highlight show, right? I mean, nobody's complaining about the canon of Philhar Magic, where we're bouncing between Africa and Agrabah and Star Wars doesn't have magic.
But we like jump. We don't jump between Lion King and Lion King 2. Like we don't like Mufasa's not dead in the first scene, and then we jump back to him being alive. Let's be fair. That's not happening.
No, you're jumping back to before he was born.
Yeah.
Technically, if you go
like to Anakin Skywalker is either not born yet, alive, or dead at several instances during Star Tours, The Adventures Continue.
And they're in the wrong
order. This is a phenomenal attraction. We're not denying it shouldn't be on this list, because it absolutely should.
Well, that was my question. We're arguing about this. Should it be in the 45?
Oh, absolutely. Is anyone going to argue it shouldn't be?
No.
I think it should be further up on the list.
But here's the thing with this list. Like, I know we're probably comparing it to the other lists we've done.
But I think that's why it's not further up on the list.
Maybe. But we're comparing this to the other lists we've done. The other lists we've done did not have food and restaurants and resorts and smells and mini golf and all that other stuff. And you had to remember there were 1,000 choices. So out of 1,000 choices, Star Tours still being on this list is probably a really big accomplishment. And who knows, maybe original Star Tours is on here.
Well, that's my question. Yeah, how many people on this panel think we're going to see either the original test track or the original Star Tours still on this list?
I think we'll see the original test track, but I don't know that we'll see the original Star Tours.
Oh, I would imagine both of them are on here.
I think so, too.
I have hope that both of them are on here.
I think they're both going to be on there. And I mean, it's weird because, like, I'd argue one of those, test tracks should be on there, but the other Star Tours should not be ahead of this Star Tours.
The old Star Tours?
Yeah, in my opinion, no.
It was the first motion simulator ride.
You're still thinking historical. You said don't think historical.
But at the time, I think at the time, that was still a much bigger deal than
you're still too historically.
Yeah.
What is greater, the first time you've ever seen something, or the time they refreshed that?
The time they refreshed it and kicked the butt of the original one.
I don't agree with that.
Just because it didn't age well doesn't mean it wasn't great when it opened.
It was great when it opened, but it's better now.
And it was canon, damn it!
It was great when it opened, but it's better now.
It was a third Death Star, and we liked it!
It was the only place to get Star Wars stuff for a six-year period, really, between the mid-80s to the early 90s. There was nowhere else you could buy anything Star Wars in the world.
Yeah. It's true.
I mean, you know I'm a huge Star Wars fan, but I would not say that the original is better than the update.
This, and you botch the opening. I don't even know what to do.
And I love the prequels. Go figure.
Oh, you do.
All right, you ready to move on, Tom?
Let's move on.
Fine, we'll move on.
Number 42.
In Western abbeys, monks toil endlessly in lonely isolation, copying ancient books of wisdom and revelations for future generations. Finally, from the depths of the Dark Ages, came the Age of Enlightenment, the Renaissance. And with this era came a powerful new invention, the movable type printing press.
Spaceship Earth, 1994.
In my mind, I was like, all right, this is going to be great when we reveal this one. You're going to play that fantastic finale music.
No.
And the memories are going to come rushing back. Nick, you should cue that up for everybody. I think everybody needs to hear that tonight. You should find that end music. But anyway, August 15, 1994, the attraction Spaceship Earth was closed to receive a major remodeling. The third version of the attraction kept the lighted tunnel as it was in 1986 and maintained the majority of the scenes depicted in the beginning and middle of the attraction. Three scenes towards the end of the attraction that showed a computer in a boy's bedroom of the 1980s, a woman's office of the 80s, and a network operations center of the 90s were all removed and replaced with one scene depicting a boy and a girl using the internet to communicate between America and Asia. Actor Jeremy Irons was the new narrator, reading from an updated script. A new orchestral composition that was magnificent, mind you, was composed for the beginning, middle, and end of the attraction. The ending itself was completely redone with the removal of the space station scene at the top of the attraction, replacement of an old projected image of the Earth and the planetarium with a new image, and the replacement of the 82 and 86 ending scenes of the ride with miniature architectural settings and new scenes, all connected by a color-changing fiber optic cables and an array of blinking lights representing the electronic communication pathways of the modern era. The attraction reopened on November 23rd, 1994, as arguably the most notable version of Spaceship Earth that has ever existed. Some will argue for the 86 version, obviously, but it's probably negligible.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue that it's not the most notable version. It certainly is the version that was seen by the most people. It's certainly a very good version. The only thing that I think is lacking from the 94 version is the Tomorrow's Child song, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, if they kept the Tomorrow's Child song, that would be the perfect version. As much as I like Walter Cronkite,
yeah, I mean,
Jeremy
Tomorrow's
Irons did a
Child
great job.
Is wonderful, but I don't think there is a piece of music that has meant more to me. Like, Spectro Magic is I love Spectro so much. But that finale music.
Oh, the music is phenomenal.
In 94 Spaceship Earth, like, got,
it is.
Always
it,
got
it's,
me.
It's lifted music. It's not that. It's taken from Seas of Solaris.
Yeah.
It's great music. I love it. I have the, you know, original track, too. But, I mean, Tomorrow's Child was probably the most earwormy song of original Epcot, too. I mean, even more than Imagination, it got stuck in my head as a kid.
Yeah, Tomorrow's Child was purposely composed for that attraction. It really was an uplifting song about the future of humankind. I think it was perfect for Epcot. You know, and as much as I like the orchestral score of the 94 version of Spaceship Earth, I think as we talked about the new test track lacking a soul, I think when you take songs, original songs out of Epcot attractions, you rip out part of the soul. And that's that's my only problem with the 94 version, is that it lost the song. Just like, you know, when Listen to the Land, lost its song.
But there's so much heartwarming stuff in that 94 finale. There's the people, like, through telecommunications singing their new baby to sleep. There's they announce to the kid that you have a new baby sister. Like, there's some really humanizing, wonderful moments.
I agree. I'm not saying it's bad at all. I'm just saying I missed the song. That's it.
Yeah, but I don't think they like ripped out the soul. Like, I think there still was a lot of soul there. Just, you know, maybe corny songs like that in 94. Like, I think Epcot, at least in 1994, I think made a very mature turn. I think even in Interventions, like, I know, like, blocking out the windows made it ugly. And I don't disagree with that, but I think, like, the evolution of the Interventions exhibit and the music around the park, the area music and the changes in Spaceship Earth and stuff, as much as I love 80s Epcot, I think early 90s Epcot is a magnificent thing. I think they were doing such a good job updating the park. It's a shame it all derailed at some point.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that was the first major refresh of Epcot with the Epcot 94 name and everything like that.
And so, the stuff they did at the land, and like I thought like they were on the right track. Like, they were updating Epcot in a very nice way.
Well, I'd certainly take that over Bob Chapek anytime.
I mean, I agree with you, Jason. I wish they had that song, but if I had to choose a version of Spaceship Earth to be on the top 45, it's got to be the 94 version.
Yeah. Why do you want the 94 version?
Because I think it again, if we go back to that question of emotion, I think emotionally it had a greater impact, and that ending scene had a lot to do with that because you came out of the attraction feeling like the future was hopeful.
Yeah, no, that I agree. That looking, just seeing that little model of Spaceship Earth, and then that fiber optics wave over your head, and the music swelling, and Jeremy Irons delivering the best script that attraction has ever had.
Absolutely.
And he was such a perfect narrator.
They're very
and
good.
Judi Dench could have been too if she had a script that wasn't written by a 4-year-old. Yeah,
I think I had that music. I think I cut it in the right place.
Yeah,
give me
a little bit of it. I need it. It's so perfect.
It's very uplifting
and inspirational, which is what Epcot's supposed to be.
Yep.
It was supposed to be like, yeah, the world can be terrible, but look at all these wonderful things that it can be. That's what I loved about Epcot. I think early 90s Epcot was doing such a good job carrying that spirit on. And that's why I love that version, man. I love Tomorrow's Child, too. But
I mean, is anybody going to be surprised if we see 86 later on this list?
No.
I just hope we don't see 2007.
Oh, God.
Right. That would
make I don't think there's a chance of that.
I hope. Yeah.
Unless we're being trolled.
I don't know. A lot of people in the chat are saying they're thoroughly surprised by the results thus far, so I think we're in for an interesting countdown, to say the least.
Yeah, I'm glad. I just want to chime in. I'm glad this is on here. I wish it was up a little bit higher.
But I'm glad it made it out of 1,000 options.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, I know, but when like the other, when 999 of the other options are like the cheeseburger flatbread. it's not hard to put this on the list, right?
But I do think this is my favorite narration.
For sure.
As far as everything else, I mean, picky and choosy about the rest of the stuff, the music and things like that, it'd be interesting to create your favorite Spaceship Earth by taking pieces of different versions.
It should be the pre-show, like Test Track. You build your own
Spaceship Earth. But this would be my narration. It'd be fun if you get to pick your narrator. That'd be great.
There you go. Well, they could. They have a touchscreen. Why not?
Yeah.
That's right.
It'd be wonderful.
You have an iPod.
Who has an iPod anymore?
You mean an iPhone?
What version of Spaceship Earth are you on right now?
1874.
Let me put on my Spaceship Earth LP and I'll go ride. Mm. Anyway. All right, Nick. Give me our last moment for this segment.
Number 41.
Ladies and gentlemen, direct from a record-breaking 2 million years at the bottom of the evolutionary ladder, let's hear it for the Tumble Monkey!
The Festival of the Lion King.
Before Disney's Animal Kingdom opened in 1998, scrap plans for Beastly Kingdom forced Disney to scramble to add some temporary items to the park to bolster the opening day lineup. In that scramble, Camp Minnie Mickey was devised to add two shows to and a number of meet and greets to the park roster. One of those shows was the Festival of the Lion King. Originally built in an outdoor theater, the show was created in a very short amount of time and utilized recycled pieces of the Lion King Celebration Parade from Disneyland, which had just concluded. Despite the entertainment team's short development time and limited resources, the show opened and quickly became the most positively reviewed attraction in all four of Walt Disney World's theme parks. The theater was quickly enclosed, and the cancellation of Beastly Kingdom gave the show a healthy lifespan. Even after plans for a new land themed to Avatar were fleshed out for the space finally, Festival Lion King moved to a beautiful new theater in Harambe, where it now performs with no end in sight. This is the greatest Cinderella story probably in Disney Parks history. This show was developed as a temporary filler in limited time. Jungle Book Alive with Magic. In a very limited amount of time, they threw this together. The entertainment department, no help from WDI, in a shed, essentially, and people loved it. And people still love it. It is 41 on this list of the 45 greatest things ever at Walt Disney World. This thing was made in, like, in just a few months. They threw this thing sloppily together and made this really wonderful variety show that is just touching. And even though I think everyone in the world would love to see them do something grandiose and e-ticket wise with the Lion King franchise, this is a really wonderful thing they did with that IP.
You know, this came at a time when the Lion King was still fresh and recent.
And it was Frozen hype-esque because they already had Circle of Life at Epcot. They had Legend of the Lion King at Magic Kingdom. There was Lion King in the parade. Lion King was everywhere, just like Frozen is now.
Right. It was very big. And, I mean, it was only 40 years after the movie came out. So it was still very big, just basically like Frozen is now.
Yeah.
You've got incredibly memorable songs. And that's where I think this came. It was the right attraction for this film, and it came at the right time. You've got incredibly memorable songs. You've got audience participation here.
The talent. Someone in the chat said it. The talent. Just watch one performer. Just keep your eyes on one performer during the finale. They are busting their behinds. Like, yes. I have never seen entertainers work harder than the people in Festival of the Lion King, and it's inspiring. Like, I love how into it they are and how proud they are to be the highest testing attraction at Disney World.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, I mean, they have – it's such a fun attraction. You can see that the entertainers are having a blast doing it. They love their jobs, without question. Yeah. I think that adds a lot to the feel and the feedback that the attraction gets from the audience. Yeah. It's just a lot of fun. And I think kids love it. That's really a lot of what it comes down
but
to.
Everybody
in terms of high and testing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but this is not a kid's attraction.
Yeah,
it's a family attraction, but kids absolutely love it. Whether you've got the characters, you've got the giant character float type things in there.
They're such good versions of the songs from the movies.
Yep. This show has everything. It has everything.
I tend to shy away from shows. I don't really enjoy theme park shows, but this one is the one that I feel like it deserves to be on this list. You know, and I think it goes to the quality and the talent of the cast, because everybody talks about Finding Nemo and how it's Broadway-like. It's not Broadway-like, guys. This is actually much closer to Broadway caliber performances than you'll see anywhere else in a theme park.
And it's a variety show, which I think works so well in a theme park setting, but we don't do it.
And it's not a cheap show to put on, and they keep going because of how highly rated it is.
Yeah. It is the highest testing attraction. It is below nothing in guest satisfaction of anything at Walt Disney World.
I don't think you can be dissatisfied with it. I mean, you can be dissatisfied. There's some fantastic attractions, especially at Animal Kingdom, like Kilimanjaro Safaris. But, yeah, you can be dissatisfied if all the animals are tired and sleeping when you happen to go on it. But the entertainers in this show are never tired and never sleeping. They are fully giving all of their energy every time.
And I've been to Nemo shows where you're like, oh, this Marlin isn't as good. And, oh, this Nemo isn't as good. And there's never been a Lion King show where I've been in there and been like, anyone's not as good as anyone I've seen before. They're always just unbelievably into it and good. And it's just fantastic.
So we all think they should be on here, but do you absolutely think it's too low on the list now? Like, or too far, you know, not
I don't know.
Not low enough,
there's
I should say.
There's a lot of things like Tonga Toast that I think are better than really, you know, I mean, this is the 45 greatest things ever.
Balzac!
So you've got Balzac, you've got Tonga Toast, you've got the Smellitzers. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff on here.
Yeah. I know.
Frozen Ever After!
It's interesting that the bottom five that we've looked at have all been attractions.
Nothing else yet.
I was expecting attractions to go way further in the list.
The question is other stuff going to make this list? That was the big question coming in, was do people just like attractions, or can restaurants and smells and resorts and weird things like that crack this list? And that's what we got to see. And yet, so far, first 5 moments, we have five attractions. Are we looking at a list of 45 attractions? That's the question.
Well, if so, we blame it on the audience. So,
not our voting system. Anyone else have any other thoughts on that festival?
I just wanted to add real quick that I think with its new location, it's just such a perfect fit. It fits really well with the whole feel of Harambe, and it is a must-do for me every time I go there. I think it's a tremendous attraction. I think it's right about where it should be on the list.
I think it's a good spot on the list because I think it's something everybody really likes, but I don't think it's anybody's absolute favorite.
Yep. Like Patrick said, it's a must-do at least once, but I wouldn't necessarily say it's something that I have to do over and over again when I go down there, but I have to see it at least once.
Fair enough. So there you go, 41, the Festival of the Lion King. So a quick recap on tonight's five. Number 45 was Test Track 2012. Boo. Number 44, Mickey's Filler Magic. Number 43, Star Tours, The Adventures Continue. A lot of recent stuff. Number 42, Spaceship Earth 1994. And number 41, the Festival of the Lion King. But hey, we got 40 more to go as we continue our countdown of the 45 greatest things ever at the Walt Disney World Resort.
All right, so not a new show next week. We're going to be replaying this one. If you missed
the podcast, we'll be back. Food and Wine Review, and, well, you just listened to it, but the 45 greatest things ever, that first segment. But the podcast is going to be back in a regular format starting October 1st.
All right, and then 2 weeks, we're back live here on WDW News Tonight.
Yes. So remember, kids, there's enough land here to hold all the dreams we could possibly imagine. Good night, and happy birthday, Walt Disney.